Well, wonderful testimonies. Everybody exalting the Lord Jesus, that I ought to be a man. And iron sharpening iron. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No tree can be a forest. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Wow.
We are all members of the same one body, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
By one spirit are we all baptized into that one body, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are members of each other. Amen. You are a peculiar member. We are a peculiar people, right? Royal priesthood. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are so joyful. Yes, Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At the right hand, Lord, there are pleasures forevermore. So we thank you for being in the midst this morning. Just as you have promised us, your word never fails. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord says, there I am in the midst of them. And we have been enjoying your presence all morning long, Lord. It's like we have been here for only 5 minutes, when we have been here for almost so many minutes and so forth. That is the joy of His presence. Lord, we give you all the praise. Overcomers, yes, we are more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you again for blessing us with testimonies, songs, and the praises to your holy name. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know how things can change fast, you know, in this world. That's why we are saying, you know, in a moment and so forth. The rapture will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Praise the Lord. So events are moving. Look at what is happening with the storms and so forth like that, you know. Our nation is preaching. Praise the Lord. No, the greatest evacuation ever in the history of the U.S. Praise the Lord. Yeah, go ahead. Praise the Lord Jesus. The greatest evacuation ever in the history of, why this time? Ever. In Florida and so forth like that, you know, I have a person in my office. He works remotely. Where I work, we use cameras. Doesn't matter where you are in the U.S. or in the world, really. We hold conferences and so for nobody in the UNDC cook things and so we don't even have phone on our table and so on, you know, everything is by, you know, computers and so on. So we couldn't come to work for the last 2 days. He lives in Florida and so forth, you know. So the greatest evacuation ever in the history of the world. Jesus said in Luke 21, see, when they asked him about the end of the world, see. So we have to be very careful that, that's why we say we are at the end of the age, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see this thing, Bible says, lift up your head. For your decision dress now, amen. These are the signs of the coming. We have been having some before. This is different. Even the issue of the U.S. It's a wake up call, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, when it's over, maybe today they are going to church and they are praying, and even the president, bless his heart, amen. When we had the Texan last week, he called for prayer. Did you hear him? Praise the Lord. So we know that and so forth. But the human nature and so forth. But the thing is this we are at the end of the age. Bible says it be like this, the sea and the waves running. So our hearts go out to those in Florida and so forth. Can you imagine all of a sudden overnight or in Texas? You don't have any house anymore. See what I'm saying? You own a home and overnight, nothing. You don't have anything anymore. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Only in Christ. We got safety, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So pray for them and don't forget our brother when we're going to have a prayer time when we finish this morning. So this morning, by the grace of God, the true security, God's social security plan. Amen?
Amen.
Where? See, the nation, they have their own security plan, right? So we are living in an industrial age, right? And society. People have come to live in complete dependence on regular weekly or bi-weekly payments, they call it, and stuff like that, you know. See? The nation of the modern economy has called for an increasing demand for some kind of social security. See? So, see? I mean, even in Russia, that's how communism came about. What happened? We can't go into this kind of thing, but in the communism came. And it's a counterfeit of real security. So nation were trying to, you know, bring out their own security, man-made security and so forth, but God has it also. So in communism has taken advantage of this pressing social problem. There are social problems in the world, and so on, and they know it, and so forth. So communism, you know, has taken advantage, you know, of these social problems, right, by making glib promises of a security guaranteed by the state. And even, let me read to you, according to the communist writers and thinkers, the goal of communism is to create a classless society. Communists think and believe this can happen if the people take away the power of the ruling class, who own the means of production, and create dictatorship out of the working class. It's not working. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The result is this. As practiced today, communist security has resulted in the loss of all individual liberty. Amen? They took the liberty of the people. Now the citizens come together and give the common, the class, the common man, we are all equal. But look at Putin. His wealth can't even be estimated. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they are saying they're creating a classless society, right? It's a lie. The lie of the devil. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that one. So they believe that this can happen. If the people, so the result was that they now create and take away the liberty from the people. And what it has here in a communist country is generally what you call counterfeit of true security, you know. So we know that one. Even here in the United States, you know, we have all kind of security here. I want to read to you. So the original Social Security Act here in the U.S. was instituted in 1935 by the Franklin Roosevelt in August of 1935. Talking about true security now, God's social security. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are walking through the world. They see social upheaval. They've seen it for a long time. That was a fresh revolution, right? In those days and so forth, like, you know. So they know something is on the horizon and so on. And they're looking for a common ground, what they call a security and so forth. So communism came about, it's a failure. Counterfeit security, you know. And here in the US, they did it better. But I want to read to you now to see how imperfect it is. Amen? Then we come and see God's security. Now, the original social security here in the US was signed into law by President Roosevelt in 1935. At that time, the U.S. was just beginning to recover from the Great Depression of 1929, the crash. You all know about the crash, right? So, and 1935, so you know, this president signed into law this act of social security. Millions of people were still out of work at that time. There was alarming concern for the elderly and retired Americans who have lost everything in the Depression. See, talking about true security now, you know. The Social Security program was intended to be, and still is today in America, a social insurance program, if you will. It's a government-run program providing economic security to the U.S. residents or citizens, rather, you know. So the 1935 Act provided for old age or retirement benefits and aid to dependent children, like we know, disability insurance, as we all know, and unemployment insurance. How did they do it? Payments were made at the beginning before 1940. They will pay this thing in lump sums to people. See? But in 1940, they changed it to a monthly payment to those who qualify, you know, and so on, that, you know, and so on. It was paid, and this thing, the funds were paid by workers. If you have been working for anybody at all, you know they take Social Security tax from your paycheck. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they fund this thing. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So payments were made. So workers were made to make contributions to a trust fund, they call it, from their paycheck to pay for the retirement and other benefits they need in the future. That was the program that they are running today and so forth. Additionally, the U.S. insurance programs have been adopted, which are playing an ever-increasing role in the country's economy. So what kind of insurance program? They even have death insurance. Can you imagine? An insurance that does you no good until you are there. What senseless thing is that? Praise the Lord. You know, so, and all kind of things and so forth, you know. So now, and through this means, the United States government has tried to cushion the shock or financial distress occasioned as a result of unemployment or even sickness, accident, or old age. That's why they put all these things in place in the US here. Still better than what the communists are doing, who stole the liberty of the people, but it's not perfect and so forth. Notwithstanding what's happening in the US, these things, the fear of the future still plagues millions of people. Amen? Despite all the social security program and so on, many an average American are still fearful of the future and so forth. And they have a good reason to people. Let me tell you something. Why? Even these so-called funds can be wiped out overnight. Runaway inflation can do it, for example, which for years has been a persistent threat, could quickly devalue every insurance policy in the United States. You know that? The Social Security Reserve is being absorbed by the national deficit, and a severe depression could wipe out those assets completely overnight. So all this kind of thing they are depending on can be wiped out overnight and so forth. In fact, I read, according to the most recent report from the Social Security Administration officials, the benefits paid out by the Social Security Retirement Program will be more than was paid into the trust fund starting from 2020. Now, you see, this thing is funded by the workers, right? You pay to this fund, and they pay after those who are retired or who are disabled and so on. So what they are saying is now, by this fund can run out by 2020. What they are paying out to people is far, far greater than what they are taking from the workers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you are trusting in that, you know, run to God, amen? Praise the Lord. So, and the shortfall can be covered by money in the trust fund until they can go as far as 2035. Even to get there, they have to pay people about 70-80% only of what they are getting today. If they make it to 2035, if the fund can be there to 2035, by then they can only pay about 70-80% of what they are paying them today. See? So and so forth. Now, the disability insurance fund is even in a worse shape today. It has been paying out more in benefits than it's bringing in through taxes. It was estimated to run out. In fact, it was not to run out by 2016. And Congress had to enact a special legislation in 2015 to temporarily shore up the fund for a few more years. Can you imagine? So, you know, that's all. See? If more permanent reform doesn't take place very soon, in a few years, the Disability Trust Fund will be depleted, and the Social Security will not be able to pay anything, or they can pay so much fraction of what it is today. So you can see the people have a reason to be that way and be fearful about the future, but not the Christian. Well, why there have been suggestions to raise the retirement age to 70 just to slow down the pace of payment out, right? It's like today is 65 for retirement. Now they are trying to make it to be 70 so they can slow down the rate of payment. People can still work until 70, right? So,
70.
One, yeah, 70, yeah, yeah. So, today, you qualify for Social Security, whatever, at 65, right? Because these funds are running away very quickly, you know? So, what they are doing is that they try to make it to be 70 years so they slow down so you don't get paid until you are 70, right? So, that is the human system.
Wow.
See, far better than Russian communist system and so forth. So, we know that and so on, you know? So, and so this is happening in the world. So, what is God's security in all these things? So, this morning, I want to talk about God has a master key. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it's known by Christians, but they don't pay attention to it. The master key to prosperity in God's own plan. God has his own security system too. That's the topic this morning and so on. Now, God's law of cause and blessing. Long before national social security programs were ever thought of, God had instituted his own special social security plan. Amen? And that's what I'm talking about this morning and so on. So, now, the millions who have adopted this divine plan for their life have found it has never failed them. That's a God's plan, God's social security plan. And millions over the ages have practiced it and they have never been failed. Or, you know, they have never failed them. Those who reject or ignore it have been the losers. Amen?
Yeah.
After that thing of the Lord, the plan is very, very simple. See? Bible, the Lord says, come, learn of me, amen. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart. Praise the Lord. Learn of me, and so on. Praise the Lord. See? So, where things are going hard for you, look at the scripture, amen.
Amen.
So, the Lord is not a taskmaster. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I is our Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look into the scripture when you are thinking the going is too hard for you. Look into the scripture and see where you are, and let God guide you. So, this God's plan is very, very simple, like another thing of God. What is it? It is the law of the tithe. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is the law of the tithe, not popular in the pulpit, but we have liberty here to declare all the counsels of God. Amen.
Amen.
We are not in bondage. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are not getting paid by anybody. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we can preach everything, all the counsel of God. Amen. So you see, so blessed be the Lord is one supplying our needs. Praise God. All of us here, brother, you can preach on any topic, anything, and so on. To fight is God's word. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're not our reporting system is to the Almighty.
Yes.
We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And we don't withhold anything that will be of benefit to any of us. Amen.
Amen.
As God leads us. Praise the Lord Jesus. So let's talk about God's social security system. The tithe, Malachi 3, verse 8. And I want you to read now. We a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me. But he says, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord answered, in tithe and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this old nation. Talking to Israel back then, even this old nation and so forth, you know. But we're going to extend it to the Christian dispensation, amen. First and foremost for the children of Judah and so on. But he expects to preach anything. And the Bible says, verse 10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Show me one bank interest rate. I can feel that kind of rate, amen. Show me. Even today, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No matter how, even if you have thousands in bank, they pay you pennies and so forth. You know? When they give you loan, they give you a high rate, right?
Yes.
When you take a mortgage, they give you this high rocket note that you are paying, right? When they take your money for saving, they give you pennies on your point or something, you know, human nature. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But here is God's insurance policy. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm going to walk through the scripture right now and so on, you know, to see how this is true. Now, it should be noted that these verses are found in the last pages of the Old Testament. The context deals with two main themes like this. So, these scriptures that I just read now, they deal with two main themes. One, it deals with the coming of the Lord and events are tending the same. Because in Malachi 3:1, so there are two themes in this thing I read in Malachi 8-10, right? There are two themes in it. First, the coming of the Lord and the events are tending to it. Because in Malachi 3, what did he say? Verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Now, second theme, that's the fourth theme, the coming of the Lord and so on. The second theme is this. It speaks of the purging that God's people must undergo that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. See? So that is Malachi 3:3. And how to read. Second theme. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So those are the two things and so forth. Why the Lord addressed this to the nation of Israel, like I said before, because he said this old nation in verse 9 of Malachi 3. So he addressed the nation of Israel and so forth with this thing. But the thing is this, as we're going to see right now, The divine ordinances are still in force today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And because in the sixth verse of the same Malachi 3, the Lord said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen.
Amen.
So are these ordinances of time. Doesn't change. Praise, I don't care what the church people say. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God has not changed it. He said, "I am the Lord, and I change not." Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So now, will a man rob God? According to the scripture, the tithe is not something we give to God as you think. Amen? I'm going to talk slowly now. I say, the tithe is not something you give to God as many think today. The tithe is no more mine or yours than the property next door belongs to me. Amen? My tithe or your tithe is not any more mine than that man's house is mine. Praise the Lord Jesus. See? So, no. And then, we hold no right to the tithe, nor are entitled to any part of it. In fact, in the Old Testament, Leviticus, if you don't pay that tithe, that you can. You see, God is so kind, where you can borrow it, you see what I'm saying? But it has a great interest, 20% interest, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So if you borrow the tithe, you couldn't, because you have an emergency and so forth, God didn't collect with you. You have to pay 30% on top of what you are done, amen? And so it's there. So we go now. So the tithe and so forth. No. So we see. So and no, we hold no right to it, nor are we entitled to any part of it. We are merely stewards. Amen. Stewards to see that tithe is brought safely into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's your right. That's my obligation and your obligation. Right now, I will center on the nation of Israel and what happened to them. And then we will just see whether the same thing occurs in Christianity. Now, beside the tithe, let me tell you more. Beside the tithe, we are informed that offerings are also belong to God.
Amen.
On top of the tithe, there is offerings also. Because we read it, say, "Where have you robbed me?" He said, "In tithe and in offerings." Amen?
Amen.
God speaking to his people, right? And so on. So, before I go forward, because in Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? We are to rob me. In tithe and in offering. Now, what is the difference between a tithe and offering? Let's explain. Now, from the Bible, the amount of the tithe is fixed. God fixed the amount of the tithe. What is it? 10% of your income. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So the tithe is fixed, and it is 10th of whatever your income is. If I earn $1, then 10% belongs to God, not mine. Amen?
Amen.
If I had a million, then what about the 10th of the million is belongs to God. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let us see now. And I said the 10th belongs to God. So let's see whether, Genesis 28, where we know the tithe is the 10th. No, and so what? 28 of Genesis, verse 1. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me." And later on, we talk more about this man called Jacob and so on. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." Now, watch the next verse now. He was free from his brother, right? He stole the birthright from his brother Esau, right? And all this, so he was fleeing away. And the first night and so on, in the wilderness by himself now, he made this vow, 22nd verse. "And this stone, which I have for set of a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely, without any doubt, give the tenth unto thee." Amen? So that is the precedent that God set there about the tithe. So Jacob things and so on. So we know the tithe is fixed, because it's the tenth of everything you earn and so forth, you know, as a Christian, you know, and the Jewish people and so on. What is the offering? Now, the offering is an individual, you as an individual determine the amount of the offering. You choose how much you want to give the offering to God, amen? Praise the Lord. So, the offering, like I said before, is over and above the tithe. You give the God tithe, then, and that is fixed, right, by God. Then the offering is how much you are willing to give to God. So now, there are certain possessions which we may consider to be our own, right? When you have paid the tithe, whatever you have left, it's your own. God doesn't struggle with you on that and so on and so on, that, you know. So whatever else is left that you have, it's your own. You can do what you will with it. Let's an example of that. Peter, remember in Acts chapter 4, Peter by the Holy Ghost. I'm showing that over the time, there are certain things that you own that belong unto you and so on. When you have paid God's own part, all the rest belong to you, right? So Peter by the Holy Ghost is speaking to Ananias concerning his duplicity in considering the price of the property in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Here is what the Holy Ghost said to Ananias. We are showing that God gives you privilege to own things when you are paid in his own kind. So in Acts 5, verse 4, he told Ananias, why it remained, this property, why it remained? Was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not thy own? Or thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy own heart, that thou hast not lied to men, but unto God? This is the situation where, I will come to it later, but we know the story by the book of Acts and so forth. You know, people were selling property in the early church, and I will show you why later. Let's just keep on going right now. So, God gives you opportunity to own things. You know, you sell it in the world and so on. So, all those possessions, we may give to God generously of all these things you have. The tithe is not your own, it's not my own, it belongs to Him. Whatever you have above the tithe, you can give to God if you want to, generously and so forth. You should give to God and so anyway. So, now, in giving offerings, we are laying up treasure in heaven. So, don't just pay the tithe and say, I'm done. No. He said, you rob me in tithe and offerings, right? So, we ought to do offerings too. So, in giving the offerings, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And still, as Brother Peter said, by the Holy Ghost, that which is over the tithe is our property. And it's in our hands to do what we see fit with it. So the Lord leaves it to you and me, the size of our offering. But the size of the tithe is fixed. How much our offering will be, how much an offering I give or you give, depends on your faith. Amen?
Amen.
It depends on your faith. How much do you trust the Lord? Amen? See? So, in the Bible, the Lord spoke of a widow. That widow has great faith. Amen? He gave everything. Praise the Lord. Let me, in Luke 21. So, how much offering you give depends on your faith, how much you believe God for, you know. So, and the Lord gave us a woman, a widow, and so forth. He gave everything. Luke 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting into her 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. The offerings, right? So, offerings of God. But she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. Amen?
Amen.
She had great faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The amount of offerings, how much you trust God, how much faith you have. Praise God. Yeah. You believe God for big things, then you give gifts, you know, and so on. And the other Bible verses in 2 Corinthians, in Luke 6, in Luke 6, verse 38. Talking about the offering now. How much you do you want to give? How much faith you have? You know? Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure. See, you give a good measure. Press down and shake it together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that he met, with that it shall be measured to you again. Amen. So that gives you faith. See, and so on. I want to give you more scripture and to boost your faith to how much offering you give to the Lord and so forth. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sweareth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which sweareth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The law of sowing and receiving. Amen. And reaping. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Out of God's word and so forth, you know. So God gives us an opportunity to act out our faith, you know, in all these things. Now, before I forget, God put these things in place for your benefit and for my benefit, amen?
Amen.
He told us, if I were hungry, the cattle upon the thousand is are mine. The silver and the gold is mine, said the Lord, amen, the book of Haggai. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He just gives an opportunity to participate in the eternal things of God. In the preaching of the gospel, it's called to preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's giving you an opportunity. And look at what he's going to do to you. Open you the windows of heaven. And so on. And that widow with the 2 mites, I never read that she was hungry. She was hungry thereafter, amen. She gave everything. Praise the Lord. Now, so when we give largely as an act of faith, everything about God is faith, amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, amen. So when we give largely as an act of faith in God's promise, see, all you do, make sure you get God's word, amen. So even in the tithing, hey, make sure you are according to the promise of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, because Satan will take you out of it if you're not really holding to the word of God and so on, you know. So promise. We show our confidence that God will not fail us. When we give largely as an act of faith in God's promise, we show our confidence that God will not fail us. God says to prove him. Prove whether he is God or not, amen?
Amen.
What a challenge. Praise the Lord. God is good, amen? So, not in anything that God should have to prove him, but when it comes to this tithe, he says, prove me now. What a challenge. The tithe is not ours, I say again, even for a moment. It is no more ours than the money handled by the teller at the bank window, amen? That teller at the bank window is under bond to see that every penny is properly accounted for. Isn't it so? You can see the bankers, when they close their window, right? They see statements, right? They balance their account, right? Make sure every dime that they earn is accounted for. Praise God. See? So, no more. Dear a Christian, appropriate the tithe for his own personal use. Then may the teller take the money he handles at the bank window. Should the teller fail, we know, should the teller fail to properly account for funds entrusted to his care, well, we know what's going to happen to him. He'll be charged with embezzlement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Upon conviction, what happened? He is branded as a criminal, subject to imprisonment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So God says that the person who fails to pay his tithes and offering too is a robber and even worse. Amen?
Amen.
If a man robs another man, in this world, we know that he commits a crime, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the law prescribes severe punishment. But what about man who robs God then? That this is a serious matter, is sin. From the way the scripture puts the question, will a man rob God? It implies that if a man robs God, how can he hope to escape God's punishment or judgment and so on? In that question implies it. Well, in this world, thieves may sometimes elude punishment. They get away, right? They didn't get caught, right? Not with God, amen? But he who can escape, him whose eyes never slumber nor sleep. That's the Lord, amen?
Amen?
So we see that the individual who fails to pay his tithe is a thief in the sight of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let us see in the Hebrew religion or the Old Testament the penalty for robbing God, not paying the tithe. Why do they do that? Why do people try to rob God? Well, I know I can say this in no, perhaps the main reason is this, that God doesn't usually send the punishment immediately. Amen. Because in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11 of the Bible says this, the court sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, right? Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, because God is long suffering. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God is long suffering. God gets, see, watch. God gets no pleasure from human mystery. Amen.
Amen.
God gets no pleasure in human mystery, and even when the, you know, when the person suffers as a result of his own misdeed, you know, God has no pleasure even in the death of him that died. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, he wants all men to repent and everything like that, you know. And when a man repents and turns from the error of his way, God is quick to forgive and even to blot out the past. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So let's see what happened to the children of Israel who refused to pay the tithe. So the penalty, you know, to the children of Israel, and they don't pay the tithe and so on. And we read it before. Thus the Lord said to the children of Judah, who had withheld the tithe, that if they will turn, the Lord now say, you will hold it tight, right? You do one thing. just tongue and do that which is right. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is always like that, you know, not the taskmaster. And let's see what he told them in Malachi 3 verse 4. Then say then when you turn around and just obey me, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old. Amen. When they turn and so on, and as in the former year, praise the Lord, we have a loving Father. But the thing is this, if they still disobey the Lord, they will continue to be under the curse. Bible says in verse 9 of Malachi 3, he told them plainly, ye are cursed with a curse. He told them that covenant and so on. For ye have robbed me, even this old nation, he told Israel. Praise the Lord Jesus. See, today, we thank the Lord. The Lord has redeemed us for the curse of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Being made a curse for us. Galatians 3. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But I want to show you that in the New Testament, that the law of the 36 times. I'll get to it quickly in another few minutes and so on. So we see that one. So for them, in those days, what happened to them when they don't pay the tithe? You know, the hand of God was against them. You know, whatever they did, when they disobeyed the law of the Lord. You know, in those days, most of the people live on that, you know, on the land, right? They till the land and were more or less dependent on what they get out of the field in those days. Maybe even today. But the devourer, when they fail to pay, when they don't pay the tithe, the devourer, the worm, has come and destroyed what they have planted. The vine cast its fruit before the time when they refuse to pay God's tithe and everything like that. It happened to them and so on. What was the cause then that came to them and so forth? Well, not only by the tithe, where Israel disobeyed the law of the Lord, for any one of them, the law catalogues in Deuteronomy 28. You know, the blessings, you know, speak of the blessings that come to God's children, Israel of Israel, when they obey the word of the Lord. I also list the curse that come to them when they depart from the word of the Lord, including the pain of tithe and so forth. Now, so what curse is God saying here? When they don't pay the tithe, those children of Judah, this curse includes things like suffering, famine, defeat in war. The enemies defeat them at war time, amen? So it just allowed them to be defeated and so on. And all kind of things, you know, happen to them and so forth. Or see, they turn again, you know, and begin to serve the Lord. We are told that when the children of Israel violated the law, among other things, they will be taken into captivity, it happened many times, and made to serve cruel taskmasters until they will lament and sigh that life was no longer worth living. In fact, that chapter tells you in summary in 28 of Deuteronomy 66. I'm showing you what they go through when they violate the law of the Lord. That's what I mentioned and so on. 28:66 of Deuteronomy. See? And their lives shall hang in doubt. Moses wondered, you know? Praise the Lord. Of the severity of breaking God's law. And their lives shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, will God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, will God it were morning. Confusion and so on, that, you know, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. These are the things that the children of Israel suffered, you know, by breaking the law of the Lord and so forth in those days. And that was the cause God is talking about and so on, that, you know, robbing God of tithes and offerings invited the cause in the Bible times and so on, that, you know. So now let me talk about proving God now, and then we are going to go to the New Testament and see what he tells us to do. The law then showed them how to escape the cause, you know, and come under the blessing. And it's in verse 10. All you have to do is just repent. Malachi 3:10. Bring it all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Amen. That is the solution. Answer and obey the word of the Lord. See, that's simple and so forth. And the Lord, not only that, the Lord now added something remarkable. A remarkable thing the Lord now added to it and so on. He invited the people to prove him, like I said before, Malachi 3. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. See, let's just take your money and just, you know, he's not hungry, you know, and prove me, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So, like I said here, not often are we told to prove God. But in this case, we are invited. I am invited. You are invited. Whosoever we is invited to actually put the matter to test and see if obedience to the law of the tithe doesn't pay off. God challenged you and mine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put it to test. The Lord said that. And see if obedience to the law of the tithe doesn't pay off. That is, to see if blessing of such abundant measure that there will be no enough room to receive them do not come to you. To see if the windows of heaven will not open and spiritual, financial, temporal, and physical blessing doesn't flow abundantly. God said, put me to test. Put this law to test and see what happens. Praise the Lord. He who proves God will find out that the very windows of heaven will open and a blessing will come down greater than he or she is able to receive. Amen. I want to read Malachi 3, 10 and 11 again. Bring all the tithes and so forth into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house in our own time. That's the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preaching of the gospel has cost money and to run crusade and so on. To print literature. Many of us read free track and so on. That money comes from somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. And me being the US here, a great minister, a prophet and so on, that you know that brought us here and so on. It's writing. I got them free initially. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who paid for those printings? God's Chromebook free and so on. And you see the Gideon. Put Bible in every hotel. You don't come from nowhere. Amen. Amen. It's cost to preach the gospel. And who pay for it? You and I. Amen.
Amen.
God's children. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So that's what it is for. God is not hungry. It's just, and I come to it now. I'll come to it. So you see. So we see. So, and the Lord said, and I will, now watch, I want to read 10 and 11 again. I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out of a blessing. These are above social security, amen?
Amen.
Above what they can pay you anywhere, amen?
Amen.
No insurance company, as well, you can pay you this kind of reward or return on your investment, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
About 11, tell you, I said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, amen? And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. Amen. That means whatever you are doing, it could be inflation in our own time, could be deflation. Amen.
Amen.
Bible said the true insurance against this thing is to pay your tithe. Praise the Lord. And give offerings to God. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now what he's saying here, you know, what he's saying here. So now, I want to now say, address the issue. So we talk about Old Testament. It's tithing for the New Testament. Well, let's see. People have been arguing back and forth and so on. You know, so let's clarify the matter. Let the Bible see for itself if this starting is actually for New Testament or not, you know. This question failed to have any significance. In the early church, you know, in the early church, nothing was mentioned about tax in the early church. And I will tell you why now. You know the reason why? In the book of Acts, because they gave everything they had. Amen? They gave over and above the tithe. They gave everything they had, like the widow's wife, widow's mind. Amen. Let's see it in the Bible. So in Acts 4, so that's why the Ultimate Version tithe, because they gave over and above tithe and offering. They gave everything. You see? So if you are arguing that they didn't pay tithe in the early church, yes, they paid more than tithe. So in Acts chapter 4, I begin from verse 33 now. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Amen. See? For as many as were possessors of land, watch now, or houses, they sold their houses, or houses, sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Amen.
Amen.
And distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. So what need for tithe? They are paying above the tithe and offering. Amen.
Yeah.
They sold their houses and so forth, you know. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's one brother called Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, they interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Can you imagine? You know, there were people in Cyprus who were Christians and so forth. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. So that's why they don't mention tithing in their nature, because they pay above and over the tithe and the offering. They sold their houses and they were living in the communal accordance and so on. So during those days, they lived in communal time and they had all things in common. Amen. Bible says nobody lacked anything. They were living in the communal life at that time, so they sold everything and they were in a community. Let's get to Acts chapter 4, 32, what I'm talking about. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, the question I'll ask you today, you know, why don't we pass it out today, you know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And let the scripture speak for itself, you know. Now, we know communal living are not a sound plan for ordinary living. Amen?
Amen.
They were designed for emergencies. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They were designed for emergencies, you know. People may live together satisfactorily in large numbers during a flood, like we have Florida now, right? They're now in shelters, amen?
Amen.
Then the community, you see what I'm saying? It's designed for emergencies. Communal living is designed for emergencies and so on, like that, you know. So, during a flood or a disaster, or maybe there is a war and so on, that devastates the land and so on. So, they live in communal life and so on, like that, you know. So, but after the emergency go, they all go back to their house. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So, the early church was in an emergency. Amen?
Mm.
What type of emergency? Persecution. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, praise God. So, they were in an emergency. They added the persecution and so forth. That, a relentless persecution by the Jewish hierarchy kept the infant church in a constant state of jeopardy. The people were glad to live together and enjoy the mutual security that was thus provided. They sold all they had and laid it at the apostles' feet. The time came, of course, when the circumstances changed, right? And the communal system was abandoned. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That explains it. I was in a meeting many years ago. A brother was making a case and bore the chain of God out. You know, I was in Lagos and so on, and you go Ipak and so on. And the brother being ignorant of the scripture, amen, was making the case for a communal living and so on, as you know. Go and tell your television and so on, you know, all kind of thing. And bore the people of God not know the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so that's just by the way, you know. So let's go and finish up this thing as time is running out here. So the scriptures foreseen that the change will come and that the communal system was not permanent plainly taught that tithing was also God's plan during the New Testament age. Let's get some scripture to back this up. Yes, the New Testament taught tithing. The Lord taught men also tithe, right? In Matthew 23, see, 23 verse. No? The Lord Jesus commended that, he commended the fact of tithing. And over that, he also told them, the Pharisees, that they ought to do the other things and so on. So he was doing the Pharisees, right? About what they were doing. And I read Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe. Say they were doing that, that's okay. They pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy. They omit all those ones. And faith, they don't even have faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have leave the other undone. The tithing is good.
Yes.
So you have to do that. On top of that, you have to keep the law. You have to have faith. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord never condemned the tithing in that place. Amen.
Amen.
Say, I do to it. Yes. So that was he telling us here. So the Lord, by commending the tithing, you know, showed that there are other things to come and so forth. You know. So the tithing in the New Testament church. So there are those who insist that tithing has no force in the New Testament church, and that it is only a part of the Mosaic law. And they were wrong. No, not only a part of the Mosaic law. We know because tithing was instituted before the law. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, because, like we saw, both Abraham and Jacob paid tithes. Amen? That was before the law. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, it could not be anything that the law saw. So, the law, you know, spoke about it, like I said, if you appropriate the tithe, 20%, amen? Leviticus, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we know that. So to us, the New Testament, tithing is actually a privilege, amen? It's a privilege to come and participate in the preaching of the gospel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And there's not a command as you would think, you know, like they have in the law and so on. See? So tithing to us in the New Testament, as well as other obligations, is considered in the New Testament a privilege rather than a command. See? So but the thing is this, believers should do things because they love the Lord, amen?
Yeah.
Not because we are forced to do something.
Yeah.
See? If you love me, keep my commandments, amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it should be, you know. So nevertheless, the laws governing prosperity are just as cogent in the New Testament as they were in the Old Testament, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. The law that governs prosperity is just as cogent in this New Testament era as they were in the Old Testament. And if we receive, if we receive more under grace than under the law, we should, I believe, feel as responsible to do as much, if not even more, amen?
Amen.
Under grace, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to go to a priest every year, go and confess my sins to the priest, amen? And bring ram and goat, amen?
Mm.
The Lamb of God laid before the foundation of the world has washed my sins away, amen? By one perfect sacrifice, he has perfected forever. Then that are sanctified, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, what the battle we have? All things are lawful to me right now, amen?
Mm-hmm.
I know that all things are not expedient, amen? That which cannot be justified under the law of Moses, I can be justified now and never condemned. But we know all things are not expedient. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, blessed be the name of the Lord. So, let's finish up here right now. So we see, we should do more. Nevertheless, let there be no mistake. No Christian should make a mistake. The scripture clearly shows that tithing was practiced by the New Testament church. And to this one, in finishing, I return to Hebrews chapter 7. This is New Testament, right? Hebrews chapter 7. And I want to read from a couple of verses 1 to 8. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him. And we talk at one time here who he was, you know. It's not about than God, amen. Praise the Lord. And God in the flesh and so forth, that, you know. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part. So Abraham was a tither, amen. We define the tithe in Jacob and so forth, a tenth part, right? So the Bible is consistent. To whom Abraham, that before the law, gave a tenth part of all. Fourth, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither the beginning of days, nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, if you want to call him a man, unto whom even patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. See? And verily, they that are of the house, sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law. See? That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without any contradiction, the less, meaning Melchizedek, Abraham, is blessed by the better, meaning Melchizedek, amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 8 says, now, very, very important now. This is a crucial verse now. So, and here, men that die receive tithe, meaning Levi and his clan. But there, meaning Melchizedek and so on, he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth, amen?
Amen.
So we have shown that Melchizedek is known that God, see, in the flesh and so forth, you know, and so on that appear to him and so forth. That qualification says it is of which it is witness that he liveth. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth, amen.
Amen.
So to show that he is the one that received the type of Abraham. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So now we see the book of Hebrews. Now notice now, we are showing that the Bible, that the New Testament taught tithing. The book of Hebrews was written 35 years after the Lord's ascension. Amen? Praise the Lord. So 35 years after the Lord's ascension was the book of Hebrews written. And that book said that Joshua now said that, and here men that die receive tithe. But there he received them of whom it is written that he lived. Meaning that the ministers were still receiving tithes in the days that the book of Hebrews was written. Well, so who are those ministers? Are they the Pharisees? No. Can a Christian go and pay that to the Pharisees? No. They were ministers of the gospel, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So they were ministers of the gospel, not the Pharisees, not at all and so on. We know that. So they were paying tithes. You know, the New Testament and so forth. Christ himself is spoken of as receiving the tithe, because that's who Messiah who he is. So money given to Christ and so forth. So how does he get it and so forth now? By giving to the minister of the gospel. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's how it is done and so forth, you know, and so on, you know. So now this is a very striking truth here. That clause where it says, but there he receiveth them. What does that mean? So don't see your tithe as they received by the minister, amen?
Amen.
Christ himself received it, amen?
Amen?
That minister is under obligation, see, to be accountable to God, amen? If you are looking at man, you won't give, amen?
Amen.
But the Bible says in the New Testament, it is Jesus himself, through the minister, that received the tithe. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's it for it. Don't worry about the minister, but be sure where you pay the tithe, that the gospel work is going on there, amen?
Amen.
God's word is being preached. No, you are responsible to where you pay the tithe. You are responsible, amen?
Amen?
To make sure that it is gospel preaching place. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so we see that one. So as we finish here, I'm finishing up right now. So the Lord himself received the tithe, not man, in the New Testament. So do not see your tithe as given to man, but indeed has been received and accepted by Christ, the one whom it is written that he liveth. So we see that one. So the Lord, having gone to heaven and so forth, you know, so as our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, now receive our tithe, amen. And I tell you, he still receives tithe today, amen.
Amen.
The question for you to say to you, the question for me is he receiving my tithe? The question for you, is he receiving your own tithe, amen?
Yes.
But he's receiving tithe today. The Bible says he received them. It's a continuous tense, amen? Of whom it is written that he lives. So there's no question whether God is receiving tithe today. The question for me is that, is he receiving my own tithe? Your question is he receiving your own tithe? But he's receiving tithe. So and so on. So we see that. So now I'm finishing. Let's put testimonies here, Bible testimony and so on. You know, so in fact, I already said it all. Two men, that's what I mentioned, Abraham and so forth. So, despite the economic condition of their time, family and everything like that, you know, the Lord guaranteed their security, economic security. Amen. Look at Abraham in 13th chapter of Genesis. God has told him to leave all the Chaldeans and go to a land that will show him, right? See, he left everything, right? And he went. And I always say it, when God sends you somewhere, you're on a mission, don't think they will roll you a red carpet when you get there, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He told Elijah, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman to feed you there, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they got there, what did they find? Oh, I'm preparing my life meal now for me to cook and I die with my son. What happened there? But the word of the Lord did not fail. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so when he got there, Abraham got to that land, what happened? A big famine happened there. But we know he was a tither, amen?
Amen.
He paid tithes, praise God. So let's see what happened to him now. Because he was a tither, Genesis 13, I have to read from 1 to 6. So he came out of Egypt rich, and something like that, you know. And Abraham, so I give you two testimonies in the Bible and so on, to show you the true security over famine, over any condition that may occur in this world and so on, like that, you know. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. This man went, ran away from the famine to Egypt, right? Nothing was left and so on. But see, we know he paid that and so on. And was very rich in silver, in cattle, and in gold. And he went out of his journey. And he went out on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, before he ran to Egypt and so on, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the fort. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot, even Lot, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, and herds, and tents. And look at the blessing right now. And the land was not able to bear them, amen?
Amen.
That they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. I will prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, amen?
Amen.
And pour you out a blessing, that you shall have no room to receive it, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Abraham had no room to receive it, and Lord, praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, you see, you know, he paid tithe in Genesis 14, verse 18, which we have known before, you know, Abraham and so forth. It was his manner of life. Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered our enemies into thy hand. And what happened? He gave him tithes of all. Amen?
Amen.
He has no room to contain the wealth and so forth. Let's finish off with one man person in the Bible. His grandson Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. See? God said of Abraham, I know Abraham. He will teach his children. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He will teach his children the way of the Lord and so forth. And he did. Look at his grandson here. In Genesis 28, Jacob by his name and so forth, which we read before anyway, but I'm finishing up now as biblical testimonies and so forth, that those who are painted and so on, you know. And Genesis now, flee from Esau, his brother. So he's about to ride from his brother Esau and everything and so forth. He had to flee from the house because his brother was after his life, right? And in 28th verse of Genesis 28, and Jacob vowed a vow as he was fleeing, at the fourth night, as he was fleeing, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now see what he said. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. That's not the end. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Did it happen? Did he have the windows of heaven open to him? Did he have a brother? Go to Genesis 32. When he was coming back, tell the testimony of Jacob. Now, when you are paying the tithe, sometimes, like anything that you do for the Lord, you will meet opposition, amen? You will meet discouragement. When he got to that land, even his mother's own brother, Laban, and so on, oppressed him so much, amen? 10 times this man, you know, changed his wages, amen? Not increasing them, but decreasing them, amen? Praise the Lord. But in finishing though, look at what happened to Jacob. Now, 32, Genesis verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord will said unto me, return unto thy country, and to thy kindred, and I will be where we did. Don't forget now, when he was going back now, God himself appeared to him. Jacob is happy to go back home now. So now he kept God's word. Now, when he was getting back in their house, his brother Esau came with, I don't know, 400 men to come and meet him, to come and now, you know, maybe to revenge and so on. He had to make this prayer. He had to remind God, you told me to go back home. See? Be sure. Don't do things haphazardly. Make sure you hear the voice of God, amen?
Amen.
So in the time of trouble, you have confidence. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So don't go on one leg and let it be chopped, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Seek it out with the Lord. Take time. No, seek the Lord and so on, you know. So, verse 30, I'm not worthy of the least of the masses and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant, including the truth of the tithe, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, watch now. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan when I was going out. That's all I have. My staff only. That's all I have. And now I'm become two bands. Amen. He has to now want to give things to his brother Esau. He has so much. He has abundance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this truth is all over the Bible. I just gave two of them. I'm so forgot, you know. So I'm going to say to you this morning, God is no respecter of persons. Amen.
Amen.
Acts 10 tells us in Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him, feareth the Lord, and walketh righteousness, is accepted with him. Amen.
Amen.
Even in Romans 2, verse 11. For there is no respecter of persons with God. Amen.
Amen.
Keep his word, and he will do what he says he will do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And finishing up, like the patriarchs, I put a note here, and many other faithful, tight-paying believers, even in our generation, you know, over the ages, and even in this age, Christians who have accepted this God's master key of prosperity, that is the tithe, need not fear this last day's uncertain economy. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what he told me when I was coming here. So, say, Christians who have accepted this God's master key, it's a master key really, play before the heart of the people and yet hidden, you know, of prosperity. That is the type. Need not fear this last day's uncertain economy. The failure of the social security system. Don't have to fear that. And the looming financial upheaval. Amen?
Amen.
They are on their way. The nations are trembling. They are perplexed right now. The only safe haven is the truth of the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For the Lord will open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out of a blessing, and there will be no room enough to receive it. The Bible says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this afternoon in the name of our Lord Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us the truth, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for not leaving us in darkness. You have made provision for your people to prosper on this earth, Lord, even above measure. Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? How that he was rich, but he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. So, Lord, we pray that the eyes of Christendom may open to this God's master key, God's social security, in publishing the gospel and give to the tithing to publish the gospel in this last day, Lord. So, Lord, that the blessings may come. Yes, many say God is blessing me. Yes. You haven't seen anything yet when you obey the law of the tithe. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You may say, I have this, I have that. You haven't seen anything yet. Bible says, don't preach at that distance. I, the Lord, will open you the windows of heaven. Put it to the test, said the Lord. Prove me, said the Lord. Lord, give us the heart this morning, Lord. Those who have been doing it, give us to do it better. Amen.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And if that's last, Lord, let this thing encourage us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lord, we thank you for blessing us as we go. There's so much you can say in 1 hour. Lord, as we go this morning, thou Spirit of the living God, bear witness in every man's heart that these words are the true sayings of God. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Brother Benji, take